Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Moving Spotlight Podcast. So happy to be here. My name is John Ruby. I'm here with my co-host,
Corbin Coyle. Hey, everybody.
CC for short.
CC. That's
what he was called in junior high. CC. He never was called that. I just made that up. Corbin, I got a fun one since we're kind of in the holiday spirit and time period. Right now we're recording this between Thanksgiving and Christmas. What is your favorite holiday movie?
Favorite holiday movie?
Ooh, yeah.
There's so many good ones.
Yeah.
My favorite like Christmas movie that came out not too long ago was it's a movie called, I think it's Klaus, K-L-A-U-S. And it's on Netflix. It's so great. Every time I watch it, I show everybody because it's kind of like a little unknown as, what's that actor? Jason Schwartzman. And he's great. It's so weird. It's fun. It's kind of like Santa's origin story. Like there's this like kind of crazy, like, I think he's like named like Klaus or something where it's like
Klaus. Klaus. That'd be so the German way. Yeah.
Like a very German, like just, he's just like a wood cutting guy and he's just like a big dude. And then they do Santa things, but like, he's not really Santa. It's really good. It's just like, it's funny. It's quirky. It's one of my favorite movies. What about you? Where I feel like, like you're probably gonna be like, what's the one where the kid shoots the BB and hits
you'll
him in
shoot
the
your
eye
out? Christmas Story.
Christmas Story. That's it. Yeah,
Christmas Story. That's just a classic. Yeah.
I feel like you like the classics.
I haven't seen that in a while. I do feel like, I can't remember if it's now it's turned into. I feel like one year we really wanted to get my dad the leg lamp. If you remember the leg lamp from that,
yes.
We like really wanted to get it for my dad. I don't think we ended up pulling the trigger, but we really, because they like you sell the leg lamp, which I thought was hilarious. You know, it's funny. I just rewatched, my brother-in-law over Thanksgiving was talking about a movie, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, which is a Thanksgiving
my
movie.
My favorite.
Yes?
My favorite.
Okay, good. Okay, good. So, yeah, I forgot it was a Thanksgiving movie. It's been a long time since I saw it, even though I love Steve Martin, love John Candy. And so we threw that on, and that was so fun to watch and funny and the ride. And it's also a heartwarming movie, so... I was definitely like,
I need to
he watches it every year.
I need it's been a while since I've seen that one. It's so good. Classic. Another classic.
Yeah. So I think, I think those are a couple of my favorites. Yeah. Trying to get my son to watch Twas the Nightmare Before Christmas, but he's not ready. He's kind of ready, but not ready. He only watches animated movies right now. He doesn't want to see other stuff. So like that, we feel like that would be a good.
Yeah. Is Nightmare Before Christmas a Christmas movie or a Halloween movie? That's the
big question. Exactly. That's the big question. I don't know. I don't have the answer. But no, this is a fun. It's a fun time to you know, watch movies and get some hot cocoa and things like that. That's a good when the weather gets a little cooler. Well, our guest is in a place that's much colder than LA.
Very cold.
I want to get to her. She is a writer, director, and founder of the BBFF, which is the Black and Brown Femme Films. Her name is Vishi Howard. Vishi, welcome to the show.
Hey.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. From, I think it's like 15 degrees in Chicago.
It's a little chilly over there.
I know. I was just asking you guys how cold it is in the weather is in LA, and you guys said, oh, it's like a cold 50 degrees. I'm like, man, we're in shorts and sweats in 50 degrees. That's beautiful for us.
Yeah. It's so cold over here. I had to wear a hoodie once.
But I'm so glad to be here, guys. Thrilled to be here. Yes.
Happy to have you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're curious. Can you tell us a bit about the BBFF? Just kind of inform us how it started and kind of your passion towards it.
Yeah. Okay. An interesting story. Last October, I wrote and directed a film, a short film called The Singles. And it was a 20-minute film and we did it very, you know, very quickly. I thought it was wonderful. I just came off of being part of the Urban World Film Festival. I was a screenwriting finalist. My screenwriting partner and I went to Urban World October 2022, and I came back and I'm like hyped. I'm ready. I'm going to make this film. It was a beautiful experience, and that was just all the energy I need to put into making this short film. And so I made the film. I thought it was wonderful. I put it out for. I sent it to 20 film festivals and did not get into one.
Oh, geez.
Oh my God.
Not one. So my mistake was not doing my homework before I made the movie. So what I learned was when you're making a short, 20 minutes is too long for a film festival. I didn't know that the sweet spot is like that 5 to 10 minutes. I didn't understand that. So 20 minutes, they couldn't program it. And so I was in my feelings, because I stay in my feelings. So I was in my feelings. I don't need a film test. I'm going to make my own film test. And that's what I did. I made my own film. I was like, I'm about to Tyler Perry the hell out of the single.
That's awesome.
I'm doing everything myself.
You know what's funny?
That's how I started. Yeah, BBFM started that way.
I flash back to I did a short film. It probably around 20 minutes. And at the time, there was a website called Without a Box, and that's how you submitted to all these film festivals with this, this website called Without a Box. And I didn't do my research on film festivals either, so I'm relating. Right. And I remember I was like all excited. I did get into one, and I was like, I'm going to go no matter where it is in the U.S. I'm going to go. Uh-huh. And it was the Yosemite Film Festival. It was a virtual film festival. I hadn't done my research either. And I was like, what is this BS? A virtual film? I think this is just like a scam. And then I ended up getting like some sort of certificate for winning something. And I was like, I don't even know if this is legit anymore. Like, it was virtual. I hadn't done any research. I was like, the Yosemite. I was like on this website just looking for ones that I thought would fit the film, you know. So I agree. You want to do your research. And
And I didn't do my research. And because I was an alum for Urban World, I just knew I was going to get into Urban World. You could not tell me that my film wasn't going to get into Urban World just because I was an alum. You know, that goes to show how little I knew. So when I got rejection letters from everyone else, and I'm waiting for Urban World, and I'm like, okay. And then I open it, and it was like, thank you for your submission. We regret, you know how it is. Like that thank you, but we regret. Oh my goodness. Yeah. No more tears to shed. Let me go and do my own thing. So that's how we came about.
If people want to submit or like kind of get into your kind of community or world of Black and Femme films, like what do you want? Like, what is your ideal kind of world and what you're trying to set up over there?
Well, it's a rotating film festival. Mm-hmm. So the first one, I didn't have a specific genre. I just, if you were a person of color and you identified as a woman, then you could submit and get into it. And so I was very fortunate to get five, young filmmakers and performing artists to submit to my inaugural film festival. And that came out wonderfully. So what I'm doing now is I'm thinking, and I'm still kind of working it out, but I feel like there's so much range. So now I'm like, I want to do a film festival for every genre. It's like, I want to do a Valentine's film festival where it's all, people of color love stories. I want to do that. And I want to do a sci-fi with people of color. Like, my brain is just like, because it's rotating. So I'm not going to do the annual, just one, one film festival a year. So since it's rotating, I'm thinking like every three or four months, I would love to do different genres of film festivals, movies, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that sounds great. I'm curious, when you watched the submissions, what stood out to you? Any advice to aspiring filmmakers out there when besides the under 20 minutes and stuff, anything that really resonated with you when you were watching the submissions?
It's read directions. People don't follow directions. Mm-hmm. They do not follow directions. So I'm putting on an event December 9th. And so BBFF is on Film Freeway right now. And so I received 359 submissions. So it sounds great, right? How come about 70% of them are from men in Iran. I'm like, what the hell is going on? And then I'm like, what is going on in Iran? I'm really like, what is going on in Iran? Like, I can literally put on a film festival just on Iranian films
Wow.
with the number of submissions. Follow directions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Read what the festival is actually looking for, because it could you could be wasting your time and the judge's time by just not following directions. The directions for this coming event, I was looking for sensual films under 20 minutes, written and directed by people of color, you know. And I got out of 359 submissions, I only got two. Only two of what I was looking for, you know. But that does go to show there are so many filmmakers that are just so eager to show their work. They're just so eager to show their work. And I think also because I'm submission free. And that's another thing I was in my feelings about, because when I submitted to all of those film festivals, I spent close to $700 in
Cost
submission
money.
fees.
Yeah, wow. Yep.
And so, aside from being in my feelings that I didn't get accepted, I was mad as hell that I spent $700
Yep.
in submission fees. So that was part of my festivals, like, okay, I'm gonna, I want a festival where it's submission free, because that's a lot. It adds up. It really can add up. And if you're, you know, if you just, if you're a filmmaker that's working at Starbucks or something like that, you know what I'm saying? Like,
Yeah.
that's a lot of money for someone who, you know, who's working side gigs or whatever. So it was really important that my film festival is submission free. And because it is submission free, we operate a lot on donations and we sell tickets. So, you know, that offsets the cost
Yeah.
of the filmmakers not having to pay to submit their films. Yeah, but follow directions, do your research, and make sure that you are submitting your film to a festival that will that can best elevate your film. You know, so if you have a film on mystery, don't submit it to a festival that's looking for romance or something like that, you know. So yeah, just do your homework. I did not do my homework. You know, I didn't do my homework. I worked a lot off of emotion and my feelings and what I wanted, and I wasn't thinking about the business side. I'm like, oh, I'm an artist. I'm a filmmaker. I'm an artist, and nothing else mattered. But a lot of people, especially filmmakers just starting, they need to remember this is still a business. At the end of the day, it's a business, you know, and so you need to know how the business works. And so, yeah, I had to learn the hard way how the business worked, and I had to kind of put, you know, put a different hat on. So filmmaker artist Vichy had to take a back seat to producer distributor Vichy, you know. So yeah, just do your homework. YouTube University helps.
For sure. Is that where you learn, like, for like the people listening, like how did you learn to get a little bit more into the business side? Because it is kind of like a nebulous thing that people don't understand. And until you, because you mentioned like selling tickets, and my first thought was like, how do you sell, how do you even figure out how to go about distributing and selling tickets in, on a site if you're not doing a film festival, if you're not doing things of that nature, let alone if you're doing it for multiple films like you're doing. So where did you learn that skill and like how to find that?
Well, our inaugural showcase, it was only one day. So I sold the tickets on Eventbrite. And you know, we sold them for, you know, tickets for $20. We had early bird specials for 15. What I learned, nobody buys the early bird special. Maybe your grandmother buys the early bird special.
And that's about it.
No one buys early bird specials. And actually, I was concerned because I wasn't getting any ticket sales. But then after I received my first donation, I kind of relaxed a little bit because I said, okay, well, at least what I spent on the venue was covered. I received one donation that covered the price of the event. And so I began to relax a little bit. I said, okay, well, if 15 people show up and it's just the filmmakers and their families, then so be it. It was a 70-seat theater. We didn't sell one ticket until the Wednesday before the event. So the showcase was Saturday. I did not start getting tickets, ticket sales until that Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And the first time I got the alert, ding, I was like, okay, Eventbrite, okay, Eventbrite, and ding, and then ding, ding. And then I tell you, Saturday was ding.
I was like,
oh, so this is how it works. People procrastinate.
Yes.
and they wait till the last minute. But so I did a lot of research. A lot of research on YouTube University, shout out to them. And then I just went down the rabbit hole and said, okay, well, let me check out Eventbrite. And because everyone knows Eventbrite, because that's how I buy concert tickets. That's how I buy, you know, so many, you know, so that's what I'm familiar with. So I went to the Eventbrite organizer page, which is different than the Eventbrite for, you know, for the actual tickets and events. And then it's very, very simple. They show you how to set it up and everything like that. And my son, he's in IT, so he helped me set up a website. So we were able to set up a website, and then it's just, you know, social media, and, you know, just kind of like just knock out all of those, all of those bullet points.
Yeah. I was thinking about when you were talking about filmmaking, and, you know, it costs money to make a film, and then sometimes you spend all your money, and then you got post-production, and that costs money, and then you got to submit to festivals, and you're like, oh god, like when does it end? One of the things that I know we haven't ever mentioned on this podcast, but it's good to know, and if people haven't heard it, I think it's good, which is there's like a triangle, which is you can have stuff either fast, good, or cheap, right? so if you want it fast and good, it's going to cost you money. You know what I mean? Yeah. If you want it, you know, cheap and, you know, and slow, then, you know, it's like, there's like different things for each of them, which I think is always so interesting. And like, I feel like when you're talking about like YouTube University, it's like, okay, it's going to take a little long because I'm going to learn it myself, but I'm going to save money. And so you always have to, like, when you're filmmaking, especially on independent budget, you're always trying to kind of figure out, okay, what do we have to spend money on? What do we not have to spend money on? How do we make it go the furthest? You know, I love that you're doing a festival that you know, that doesn't charge. I think that's such a lovely thing, because I talk about that a lot with actors. Actors are always getting charged for everything too.
I know.
It's on the acting websites, you know, just for submissions and stuff.
For everything. And we need, you know, filmmakers too. We can fall victim to, well, I want to do this, da, 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 da. And sometimes we can get suckered into, to things like that. So my film, The Singles, cost me $7,000 from beginning to end. The post-production, everything cost $7,000. I paid everyone the same $125. The actors, the DP, the grip, the gaffer, the PA, everyone, they got $125 meals, gas money to, you know, to come to the set, which was my living room. Sure. Everyone got the same thing. I was so incredibly fortunate. My DP, his name is Brandon Obey, and he is very talented. He did a lot of cinematography for film, for music videos. And he wanted to go from music videos to film. This guy was so incredibly talented. He DP'd for Nas in Tokyo. He is phenomenally, you know, talented. And I was like, how did I get this guy? You know, but because he wanted the opportunity to get to move into film, he was like, you know, I this is what I want to do. So I'm willing to, you know, I'm willing to work with you for that rate because I just want to get into, I just really want to get more into film and out of music video. So I was tremendously, tremendously talented. I deferred to him a lot because I felt like he was the professional. I'll admit it. I felt like he was the professional. Like I had a 30-year hiatus. Like I went to Columbia College in Chicago for filmmaking, but then I got married and I had a family, da, 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 and all that. And once my kids grew up, and it's like, well, it's time to get back into it. So even though I had the degree in filmmaking, I didn't have the on the grounds knowledge of it, And so I was so fortunate to to link up with Brandon. And he really did. He guided me through it, and helped me with the budget, helped me with the lighting, helped me with everything. Like this guy was just, I was just very, very fortunate. When you're talking about how the universe and manifesting and there's someone special looking down on me to put all of these wonderful people in my life to help me make the singles. It was a humbling experience that everything just came together because I didn't want a crappy film. Because I did a crappy film. I did a I made a feature maybe about 20 years ago. And to tell you how even though I had that degree, I wasn't a knowledgeable filmmaker. I honestly thought I could I'm going to write it. I'm going to be my own cinematographer. And not thinking that, it's more than, renting a camera and pushing play and pushing record. It's more than that. And that's what I did. That's one of the mistakes I made. And that film was crappy. It looked horrible. It looked so bad. I went to Home Depot and I bought some spotlights or whatever from Home Depot. I'm going to be the, I'm a Virgo. So Virgo's like, we can do everything. We don't need anybody. So my Virgo energy, I went to Home Depot and I bought some lights and, I rented a camera and I was going to do everything. And it looked like crap. Looked horrible. So that let me know, yeah, I can't do everything. Sometimes you really do need you need the sound department, the camera department, the lighting department. Everyone works in unison to bring it together. And so I was very, very fortunate with the singles. Yeah. So $7,000. So after I didn't get into any film festivals, I want every penny of my $7,000 back. Every penny.
Amen. Wait, let me ask you, because a lot of our audience is as actors, how was it like? Did you have auditions? Did you pull from friends you knew? How did you find the actors in your film?
Yeah, so I put an ad on Backstage, and so I was really fortunate. So I was able to get a couple of actors from Backstage. So two of the actors I got from Backstage, and so there was five actors altogether. Okay. The main character was played by my child, and because they are in entertainment, they had access to other actors. And so I even made them audition. I said, "Yeah, I know you're my kid and all, but I made this mistake before about putting family into your movie just because, oh, I want to be in your movie. I want to be in your movie." And not realizing if they're talented enough to truly be in your movie. And so I made that mistake before. So I made my child audition for the movie. So you have to audition. Everyone that you're suggesting for for the role has to audition. So I was very strict on that, and they blew it away. They were once, oh my God, yeah, you're actually pretty good. Actually pretty good. But yeah, but so two of the actors I did hire from Backstage, and the other three were worked
And at the
with my
time, did they
kids.
do a self-tape or did they come into audition?
Oh no, we did everything on Zoom, just like this.
On Zoom.
So
Okay.
we did a
Yeah.
Zoom audition.
Wow. Zoom auditions. Oh, okay. Did you find that any of them came in with an audition that you didn't expect? Like, were you picturing in your head a certain way and they completely, anybody do anything different? Or was it more you wanted to get something very specific and you found it?
Okay, well, what's really important for me when I'm looking for actors, and I put it, one of the main requirements is that I'm looking for actors that have improv, I have a high improv background, because I throw the script away.
Interesting.
Like when you're on set, the script is just a map.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm not one of those directors where you have to know line by line. No, I need you to know what the essence is. I need you to know what the emotions and the feelings. You get it? You understand it? Okay, throw it away and just tell me how you would do it naturally. As there was one scene, so one of the actors, the main actor, he was trying to stick to the script. And it was so stiff, and it was stiff, and it just didn't come across, and it just didn't feel right. And what I'm writing and who he is as a person just isn't, it's just not connecting. And so I told him, I said, oh, his name is Elliot. I said, Elliot, I said, how does this feel? He said, oh my God, this feels really bad. I said, I tell you, I said, toss the script. I said, you know what the character is saying. You know what I'm trying to convey, right? He said, yeah, I get it. I said, toss the script. Don't worry about it, because he was trying really hard to, please me or whatever. I said, toss the script. He tossed the script, and it was magic. It was magic. I said, just don't even worry about it. Don't focus on it. Don't think about it. Just say what Elliot would say. And it worked nicely. So yeah, so improv is really, really important when I'm auditioning actors.
Do you do anything in the with that? Like, do you have them try to improvise during the audition, or do you just kind of just see if their resume has, high improv
Oh no,
background?
yeah, I always ask them, and I do the same thing with the audition. I say, okay, can you close the script that I sent? I know, I sent you whatever, but just close it. Don't worry about it. Turn it face down and just talk to me. Just talk to me as the actor. Just talk, or as the character. Just talk to me. What would that character say? So, without trying to follow the script. And so yeah, that usually works
I
for
like that.
me.
That's great.
It's very important to me, improv. I love improv. Don't you guys like
Oh yeah,
improv?
the best.
I
Yeah, but
love improv.
you're a Chicago person too, so it's right in your
It's
blood.
so much, it's natural, right? It's just
Yep.
natural,
Yes. Yep.
and it feels better, comes off better. It's I love improv all the way.
The film I did with Marissa, who's our mutual friend, and we've had her on the podcast, was Searching for You. When we watched it, there was a couple like improvs in there, and my wife looked at me. She's like, "No, John, you improvise." She like knows me so well. She's like, "Those were not," and I was like, "Yeah, you caught me." So it's funny because I think it is great, because a lot of times improv, and what I like about it is it shows you're thinking like the character, right? So when what you're talking about, it's interesting, when we talk about improv, because it's like, well, can you think in this situation? You know what I mean? Like, living truthfully under imaginary circumstances. Are you thinking like this person? Are you responding? Are you reacting? So I love that you do that. Do you find in Chicago, do you find there's like an artist community? And what I mean by that is like, actors, writers. I know you're also a writer, which you mentioned. Like, how do you kind of find your community in Chicago? I'm just curious because that's, I think each city has its own, pockets that people are always looking for.
Right. Well, I'll be honest with you guys. I just got back into it. It's been like a year. I just got back into it, because I've been, doing the whole suburban thing. But once I got back into it, and this is another thing that I found is, I'm older, and so a lot of the community are much younger. are much younger, like kind of like my kids' age. So, but there are, there is a small community of older folks. when they can finally put away the, oh, I have to pay the mortgage and the car note and the da, 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 da. You know, let me nurture, my art. You
Yeah.
know, that community is the
Yeah, it's
community
easier to be a
that.
starving artist when you're in your 20s. It's
Yeah.
more difficult in your 40s, 50s, you know what I mean? Like, it's
It
just,
is.
yeah, you know? So I
But
hear what you're saying.
they're there. And what I have learned is, even as you mature, the drive to be an artist, it doesn't go away. Like, it doesn't go away because, oh, now I'm 35 and now I'm 40 and now I have kids and now, like, it's still there. It lays dormant because now you have a family and obligations and things like that. But, it's still there. Like, the pilot light is still there. It's still the pilot light is still on. And I'll give you a perfect example. So I'm putting on an event for it'll be December 9th. So it's like a pop-up museum, and we're doing a live exhibit. And in that, we have actors that are going to be performing and everything. And so we did. So we got together Sunday just to kind of go through. To go through the performance and work. Everyone was over 40. Every one of them were over 40, and their faces just would just light up in their eyes and the joy of it. So it doesn't go away. And I think it's so important for older folks to have their community of artists. And I'm not taking anything away from the young folks, but it's really important to also connect with artists of of a certain age. And so I'm very, very fortunate to be able to find that,
Like that. When it came to like writing and everything and finding kind of what you're describing, that community and everything, like, do you find that it's easier to, and like you're saying, the Virgo energy to pull in everything you have and try to like do all these different types of jobs? Or do you try to like kind of delegate now that you've gotten a little bit older and wiser about like what you can take on and can't take on?
Oh yeah, I know what I'm capable of, and I know what I'm not capable
Yes.
of. I know what my limitations are. Like writing, I'm good at the writing part. I'm not very good at, I need more help with maybe the social media. I'm not as good with that. When we did the singles, I needed help with with the technical the technology. I wasn't really good with that. I needed help with the equipment. I wasn't good at that. I had a script. I had a script, and so I had to find a community of artists who knew what they were talking about and knew what they were doing and had the experience that I didn't have. And sometimes you have to be very confident as a director to know when it's time to let someone help you. One of those directors that are, oh, it's just me and me and me and me and me and I am in charge. I like to describe myself as a collaborative director and just a collaborative artist, period, because I know what my limitations are. And if I'm going to bring what I see in my head, to the rest of the world, I can't do that alone. And so, yeah, I have to, you have to be okay saying, yeah, this is my limitation. Let me find somebody that know what they're doing to help me bring my vision to life, So yeah, that can be humbling too, though. Realizing I can't do this. I'm not good at this. I need some help here.
Yeah, I always feel like you want to find people that are, as good as you or better than in the position they're in. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like that's part of the goal. I want to touch on before we get to our final thing, I want to touch on writing. How did you start getting into writing? How do you kind of stay, inspired to write? How do you, find that discipline? I think, we have people that are writers, but also actor writers, writer actors and things like that. Yeah. So how do you do that?
Yeah. Well, you know, everything starts with writing for me. I've always been a writer. Even when I was a little girl, I would always write. So it all started with writing for me. And I got into directing because I wanted to have control over what I was writing. Also, the controlling part of me is like, oh, I don't want to. I don't think I trust anybody with this. I want to do this. And so that's how I got into directing. But yeah, writing has always been it for me. As far as inspiration, you know how sometimes you'll talk to a writer and they're very disciplined. And it's like, I write an hour a day. And yet that's not me. I journal. No, I have to be inspired. Sometimes I might get an idea. It might be, years before I get an idea. But when I get it, though, like it comes, it's like a river and it flows. And so I kind of take it from there. But yeah, I'm not that disciplined. I
That's all
go
right.
off inspiration.
No,
It's
that's
good to know you can still, yeah, you can still create stuff, and discipline is not the
Absolutely.
only thing. Yeah.
Right.
Great. Corbin, are you thinking it's
I
time?
think it's time. I think we do your best
Best bad acting. All right, we're gonna
bad
put you in the hot seat. Test those improv skills. Just kidding. That's not
acting.
improv. We're gonna send you a quote from a movie, and it's holiday themed. So this is kind of a fun one, and the idea is, just have fun acting it. You can go over the top. The point is not to be good, just to have fun. We might give you a redirect, but there's no right or wrong, with this.
Okay, how about Chicago? It's Thanksgiving, yo, but no, it's not Thanksgiving. It's like Chicago. It's like it's Christmas without presents. Like, whatever.
Oh my God, that is so good.
That's funny because I was going to ask if you were like a Sox fan or a Cubs fan and then do it as the other one. So you already got Chicago. That's good.
I'm a fair weather fan. I'm a fan
Yeah.
of whoever wins.
Whoever's winning. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes
I'm a
sense.
fair weather fan. Yeah.
Okay, I want I let's do it like you're giving advice to like a 5-year-old about
Ooh, that's a
this.
good.
Yeah.
Ooh, give me advice to a 5-year-old. Okay, Bobby, let me explain this to you, okay? It's Thanksgiving. Well, it's Thanksgiving, but it's like Christmas without the presents. Does that make any sense? No, okay.
Beautiful.
You have any
I thought that
questions?
was great.
I think we ship it like that. That was exactly the energy I was hoping for.
That was great. That made total sense. I now I have to check out this movie, Son-in-Law. I've never checked it out. That was so great. Well, you know what? First of all, thank you for your time and lovely to see what you're creating and what you're doing. I think it's awesome. I hope people, where if people want to learn more, do you have a website that people can go to, social media? What's your main kind of, I know we talked a little bit about like, is there, where can people find out more information or if they want to, get involved or submit or something like that? I know you mentioned Film Freeway.
Yeah, so my Instagram is at DC Howard, so you could go there. I also have
VICI for people, VICI.
VICI,
Yeah,
DC
just wait.
Howard, Instagram. And the website is bfffilms.com. You can go there if you want to learn more about the upcoming pop-up museum that's going to be on December 9th in Chicago. That's going to be so much fun.
Sounds
So
great. That's
definitely
great.
come out and see that. You should see my living room. It like my living room literally looks like a museum. I have exhibits all over. It looks like Hobby Lobby just threw up in my room.
You know what I like in Chicago around this time? I don't know if it started yet. Do you ever go to the Christmas market? I do like the Christmas market in
Oh,
Chicago.
heck
I do.
yeah.
Yeah, it's
Oh,
great.
absolutely.
They've got a great one there, Corbin. Really good. I mean, the real ones for me are in Germany. I mean, that's a different
Of
level.
course.
But
Right.
Chicago
But
one
it's
is awesome.
legit
Chicago one is
though.
awesome.
Like if you
Yes.
can't get to Germany, then
Yeah.
go to the
They
one
go.
in Chicago. It's wonderful. It
I agree.
absolutely
I
is.
agree.
Like it just screams Christmas, like real Christmas.
It
Yeah,
really
I'm
does.
with
It
you on
really
that one.
does. That's one of
Yeah.
my favorites for sure. So, well, this was lovely. Thank you so much. Thanks for sharing. We're excited for you and love that you're back in the game in a sense.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Yes.
And
Back in the game.
I honestly feel like 'cause I teach people and coach people of all different ages. I think it honestly, it really doesn't matter in today's day, which is wonderful that there's opportunities and things for everybody. So I love that you're doing it. I'm excited you're creating opportunities. So
it's never too old, guys. Nope. You're never too old to do what you love.
Yeah. Nope. That's why actors never retire, because they love it. That's they never retire. Yeah. You know what I mean? Martin Scorsese, I just read, I think he's 80 and he's still like got the energy. Right. You know what I mean? So yeah. I think it's pretty wonderful. So thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate
thank you.
Here. Of course. Thanks. Enjoy the rest of your day and the holiday season.
Great to see you.
All right. Have a good one, guys. Bye-bye.
So I just want to, we've never done this before, but just add a little tag at the end of this episode, which was after we stopped recording, she mentioned being your own gatekeeper. Mm. I love that idea, Corbin. I think it's so great. You know, it's kind of empowering yourself.
Yes.
To like put the power back in your own hands, right?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, you kind of have to, put the power back in your own space. If you don't keep pushing forward, nobody else will for you. And you can't be your own gatekeeper. Other people are going to do that before you already. So might as well push.
Yeah, there's lots of gatekeepers out there. But like, I love that idea, you know, being your own gatekeeper. And I love this idea of being like an empowered actor or writer or producer or director. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you get that power back to create your own projects? So I just thought that was kind of a cool thing. I wanted to tag this at the end and just throw that in there. Because I think that's a really good thing for people, artists, to remember.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to the
Moon and Fox Eye Podcast.